This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. If you don't know who that is, well, now you know that is the one and only Elon Moxie. It has been brought to my attention that our treasured Elon Moxie is dealing with a medical crisis. There is a GoFundMe currently being shared for support with his medical needs. I don't have the information at hand. I was just made aware of it. And so I can play some Elon Moxie music throughout the show for you. But please let us remember Moxie, not just in our prayers, not just in our hearts, but in our hands as well. And let us see what we can contribute towards his medical needs. For Elon Moxie is a legend. He is a legend. And let's give him whatever flowers we can gather while he is alive. And if those flowers are in the form of support, let it be. Okay, some quick birthday notes. I got to say happy belated birthdays to Candy Rigby from the Spot, the acting community, the Dundas community. And of course, she's a teacher as well, so she gets extra love and hugs and smiles on her birthday. And I got to say happy belated birthday to my cousin, Taya Mitchell. Happy birthday, bye. Happy birthday. All right, so we got lots to talk about today. Yesterday, National Men's Day. And in honor of Reverend Dr. Charles Sanders, who had a National Women's Day church service addressing the audience, asked, "What more do women want?" I would like to ask you, what more do men want? And I'm being really serious here. I'm being dead serious. What more do men want? But more importantly, what do men need? Right? What more do men want and what do they need? I think that we have missed in this discussion about relations between men and women, which some of us call gender relations, right? Relations between men and women, we have missed a very big thing. And that thing is this, is that sexism is perpetuated by like a larger system called patriarchy. Men in everything. We talked about the MNBA and the WNBA. People instinctively have a response to me calling it the MNBA because why do you need to say men? We all know that NBA is men. That is an example of how men are centered, right? It's cool. What we often don't acknowledge is that patriarchy is a system that is larger than people. And oftentimes what we find are these, like, what you would think is like an anomaly. Oftentimes we find these two things. One is that women can also perpetuate patriarchy. Women can also perpetuate this centering of men in spaces where people should be centered equally or equitably, right? In that, if we forget that women can perpetuate patriarchy, if we forget it's a system, right, then we will also not realize that men can also be victims of patriarchy. That the same systems that oppress women or discriminate against women or prejudice women in certain ways can and will and does discriminate against men and, more importantly, prejudice men, right? Prejudice men in certain circumstances. So I ask the question sincerely, what do men need and what more do men want? I see I got a caller popping up in a second, right? And I want that to take us to a second question, right? Which I will link to the story in today's Tribune. Is it discrimination or is it perceived discrimination? I see I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Awesome. What men want would be more fit, feminine, and cooperative black women.
More fit, feminine, and cooperative black women. Okay. You could, if you want to, you could expound.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. I wish you did expound. Fit, feminine, and you remember the third one, producer? Right. Okay. So, right? Instantly, some people say, what this, first of all, are you body policing? Are you body shaming? Right? And then secondly, is this respectability politics? Well, I will intervene and say, I could see men wanting women that are healthier in the sense that they're more active, right? They're fit. I could see men saying, hey, I want my wife, I want women to be as strong as my grandma in her aging years, right? Now, feminine, I am not going to say that that's like a prejudice, right? I'm going to say that I think it's important for everybody, male and female, to understand that we all have like feminine and masculine energies, right? They're small parts of us. But maybe that's not quite what it is. Because men are nurturers as well. Is that a feminine energy? But I think it's important for people to have a sense of self and a sense of identity and to understand who they are to themselves so that they could understand how they relate to other people and how people relate to them. A woman who has what some people may call too much masculine energy may not be a right fit for you, but that may be a perfect fit someone else. But I like that. Thank you very much, caller. I wish, though, we could have expanded it a little bit so I could hear your thoughts. Here's a text. Aaron, sex and food and respect. That's it. Nothing more. Okay. I got that. Now, when you say sex and food and respect, right? I'm going to say automatically we know that sex comes from some form of relationship, whether it's a casual relationship, whether it's a significant relationship, whether you are just dating, right, with no sort of road or view to marriage. But food, right, and respect I get, right? And respect is important as well, because it's not just how, from a man's perspective, how the woman respects you, but it's how she manifests that respect, right? When she is socializing, right? How does she talk about their father? How does she talk about her husband, right? How does she talk about other men? It's not sufficient to say, like, to look in your husband's face and say, yeah, baby, you know, I respect you, if you are in other ways manifesting or showing other people they don't have to respect him. That I want to say I like that response as well, but it's got to be more than that, men. It's got to be more than just sex and food and respect, right? And I'll say to you, okay, I'll accept if you say to me, well, it is broader than that, Aaron, right? Respect is broader than what it seems on the surface. But how do you express this then to your potential suitors, right? Your suitors. How do men express what their relationship to sex and food and respect are, right? Or is, what the relationship is to these things? I really appreciate it. Here's another text. Equality in family court. Now, that's a good one, Texter. Equality in family court. That is a good one. That is a space in which we can see that men definitely experience, I think, both like forms of discrimination and prejudice, right? The first prejudice is that a man, it is the idea that a man cannot be as good of a primary caretaker as a mother can be. First of all, I think that's a prejudice that we need to do away with. A second prejudice is the idea that men do not want to be primary or equal, central in that child raising space. Right? And I think those are two big prejudices socially that then are imported into policy and law and regulation. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Cook.
Morning, how you do?
Fine, thank you. You know, I don't think it's so much prejudice in the family court system as it is, I guess, weighing the pros and cons. Mm-hmm. Of the betterment for the child, you know, because I know of a gentleman, I personally know of a gentleman who, I think his daughter was about 7 or 8 months old, mm-hmm. and the court gave, he took the mother to court, mm-hmm. and the court gave him, a young man, full custody of a girl child,
mm-hmm.
because he could have shown where the mother was not making sense for, you know, Bohemian term. Mm-hmm. She wasn't making no sense. So he had his proof. What he did is he documented, videotaped as much as he could have, things that she did, the way she acted and carry on, and he had those things in his possession to present.
Mm-hmm.
So he, as a young man, got full custody of his daughter. You know? I know of women who went to court, or who was taken to court by their children's father, because they left the children with the father, saying, now is your time to take care of the child because I don't do my part. Mm-hmm. And the court made the women pay child support to the man.
Yeah. In the local court.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, in the magistrate court.
Okay, so here's the question. But he had to petition, right?
Who? I mean, the gentleman?
The father, yeah. The biological father. He had to petition for custody, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Right.
It's the same when, you know, normally women just hold of the child.
Yeah.
I know of a father who took a mother to court for custody of the child, but the judge saw where she was making more sense than him. So only thing she did was, in turn, he had to now pay child support, which he was highly upset because that's something he did not want to do. That's the reason why you see a lot of these children are left with these parents that they are with, because the other parent don't want to pay child support, so they absolutely refuse to take the other party to court.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's about. It's about pride. They don't want to have to pay child support. So why? So I'm not gonna say I'm not going to court, because if I take her to court now, the court can make me pay her child support. No, take her to court. That's where you see your child on time. That's where she has no choice but to allow this child to come to you every weekend or however the court fixes it.
All right.
But
so they
don't want to pay.
Let me ask you this: is there a stigma? Right now, a stigma is where you fear that there will be discrimination, right? So you don't even try. Is there a stigma that prevents men from accessing the clutch, a regimen, a routine about custody, right? So I say to men, you go to the courts and tell them, look, you could say, look, I'm not fighting the mother in terms of primary custody. I want shared custody. I want to be able to see my child, and I want to be able to set the terms of our co-parenting relationship and the terms, like the rules for the child, right? Do you think that men are afraid, ashamed, or frustrated with what they've heard or they've experienced, right, that prevents them from using the mechanisms that are available, from being able to establish a clearer, structured relationship with the child and the child's mother?
Okay. I believe there's a stigma, okay?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm trying to think of a situation. Okay, like there's a story that is told about, said persons were killed in the house, so the house is haunted.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm afraid to go to the house because I feel like something may happen.
Yeah.
Okay? So instead of me going and witnessing whether or not something like this can be true.
Mm-hmm.
See, men are not out there some of them are not trying to find it out for themselves. Go to the court. Try your hand. And then you have some of them who, like I say, they don't want to have to put that money in that woman's hand. So for that reason alone, a lot of them would just avoid the court, like the plague. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, if you listen to the word on the street, it tells you that you go to court, child, the judge can show you behind the bars. Or so, you know, they can make it sound worse than it actually is. So it takes someone who has someone in their family to say, listen, take a chance. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's see what can happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is a stigma.
Thank you. Thank you very much, eh? Mm-hmm. I want to, as we go to this break, I want to send a shout out to Cleaver Duncombe, Father's Rights Advocate and Child's Rights Advocate. In Cleaver Duncombe's work, he sees that it's a balance, right, of rights. There's the mother's rights, there's the father's rights, and then there's the child's right to have what they need, the best environment to grow up in. And so men, if you have issues around custody and access to your children, try find Cleaver Duncombe and have a word with him and see if he can help you figure out the way forward. We're going to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at the blast from the past, because on this day after International Men's Day, I want to ask you, what more do men want? What more y'all want, man? We'll be right back. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
To the point, how this thing really goes. Sweet and washed, never get discussed. The frog jumped my mommy.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no.
For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey, man. Long time.
Girl, what going on? I hear women in Bahamas can't pass on citizenship to them own children.
We had one jokey government halfway try to change it with a referendum in 2016, and two administrations since then ain't even bother.
I shocked you going back to live like that. What are you supposed to do with your own children if they ain't Bahamian?
Suffer. Luckily, Equality Bahamas been working on this issue, and I hear they ramping up for a full campaign.
Good. The Bahamas like to play top class, but have all these old issues that the rest of the region done deal with a long time.
You right, we gotta get it together. Let me go online right now and tell my people share tiny.cc/nationality. We need the same rights as men to pass on citizenship to our children.
Yeah, get on our level.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You know I was legal when I come to you. You gave me food, clothes and protection too. You said don't worry about a thing.
Good morning and welcome back to the Guardian 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green on this day after International Men's Day, and I'm asking you all, what more do y'all men's dem want? Anyway, I want to read these three texts and then I'm going to take a look at the blast from the past in today's copy of the edition of the Nassau Guardian. So here's the first text. In regards to the caller, the woman has to be almost an outright bum. The bar for the man is a lot higher, right? And I think that's fair that there's prejudice that sits in there, right? Because there's a cultural prejudice and it sits in there and it informs. I think in regulation, here's another text. Your caller mentioned that she knows of men getting custody only after women are proven to be poor mothers or giving up the child. That is not equality. Right, I don't think she was saying that it was equality, but she was saying that there are instances where we see it. Producer, let's go to the phone line. We're coming to you right now, caller, give me a second. We men want just as much programs and things dedicated to developing women, if not more, because we are more at risk. Equality in development programs. We're going to talk about that. Good morning, caller.
Well, today is Let's Talk NY Salon with you, Erin.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm holding. We still need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
Men, right?
Yes.
Want and need more, better medical health. And bring down the cost of food in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We certainly don't pay attention to a number of men's health issues. Sufficient attention. But the question is why, right? Is it discrimination or is it perceived discrimination, right? Is there outright discrimination or is there a prejudice or a social stigma that prevents the people who ought to be creating systems and programs from doing so? Back to this text, we men want just as much programs and things dedicated to developing women, if not more, because we are more at risk, equality and development programs. What are you more at risk from? See, that's the question. Men are more at risk from gun and gang violence. That's because there are more men participating in gun and gang activity. activities. And let's, producer, let's go to the phone line. But the question is, are men taking advantage of the resources, like money and the time, right, available to them to see to their needs? I argue, I come right, the real issue is that men took too long to realize they need these things. Good morning, caller.
It's just negligent, Aaron. It's not as a matter of fact, men take too long. It's negligent.
Right. Now, when you say that men are negligent, they're not concerned about their own needs.
No. The authority are not dealing with the situation for the man.
Okay. So watch this. I will say this right here. I don't think this is a space of discrimination. The authorities are not trying to spend any money or any resources. They don't have to. They will equally ignore a situation if they can.
That's the problem. It's our money.
Right.
It's the Bahamian public money.
So will men organize and strategize in the way that women's groups have to ensure equal and equitable access to state resources?
Well, the thing is that the man has to want it and stand up for it.
Ah, okay, good stuff. See, because men organize. They organize for sports, right? They organize for recreation, right? They organize for business power and money. But the question is, are men organizing for the sake of men's issues?
No, because most of them are short-sighted, or they don't care.
Right. Is it that in this sort of patriarchal culture where man rule, man forget that he is fallible and he will age and he also has to be concerned about these things? I want to thank you very much, Brayman,
for
your intervention. And I want to say, from your particular experience, I think a space that we miss out on is that aging men, senior men, senior citizens, there's a degree of vulnerability that we refuse to see. And in many instances, those men refuse to acknowledge. Just because men don't acknowledge their vulnerability, it doesn't mean that the state is excused from creating systems and programs to address it.
The social worker is supposed to look into a situation which not had been dealt with.
I got you. Thank you very much, Brayman.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Here, I got a text, Ms. Green. Our country has an obligation to our men compared to the obligation men have to their children. When the balance is present, harmony is then a social norm. On this day after International Men's Day, Texter, I feel compelled to ask you, what about the women? What about us? Because I think this is a wonderful sentiment, right? I mean, absolutely. Of course, our country has an obligation to our men, individually and collectively, as little boys, as young, you like to call them, scrubby neck boys, as growing up teenagers, all of them, right? We have an obligation to all of them, right? And it is balanced with the obligation to the children and to the women. The question is, do men understand their obligations to themselves in the same way that we have decided to explain their obligation to their children and the women? Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a quick comment here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as it relates to men and children and all that, I've never strayed away from taking care of my children, right?
Mm-hmm.
So initially, with my first baby mother, she had moved back to Honduras, and so I never had a problem with sending anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kept a report with my daughter, just everything she would ask, everything I could send. Bi-monthly, and every month I would send money, groceries, et cetera, toys, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she appreciated that. So it actually backfired on her because my daughter is now 25, and she loves me. But I didn't let that below. She ran away, and she lived in Honduras, and I didn't use that against her now that she's a big woman. But I remembered one time there was a problem. Like she hadn't sent her to visit me, like like every summer she would send her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a period in time when she didn't, and I became angry. And so I went to social services, and they guided me. So I don't know where all this problem is coming up from. Like, I mean, social services, the lady in there who sided with me, mm-hmm. I was never asking for custody because my baby mother's a decent woman.
Yeah.
Now a deaconess or a preacher, whatever, in the church, right? But what I'm saying is I never had a problem with that, but I just, my problem was the visitation and the bonding as the child was growing. But it was just like, I wanted, you know what I mean? I was just desire. I don't know if some women do that deliberately, but social services will guide you as to the legal, the legalities and the guidelines.
Now, 52.
Yeah.
Skin-to-skin contact for new fathers, right? You know how important that is, right?
Skin-to-skin, what do you mean, sexually?
No, like when, that's a technical term. When the baby is born, they put the baby on the mother's chest, skin-to-skin.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
The imprinting that takes place.
Yes.
One of the central thrusts for paternity leave is not about supporting the new mother. It's about giving the father that same time at the birth to have those same experiences. There's no latching because the father doesn't breastfeed, but the same skin-to-skin contact where the baby would lay on the father's chest to allow for imprinting.
But the thing is, I'm glad you said that because my daughter, she would testify. You know, I actually had to stop her from sleeping on my chest because she was getting so tall and long. It was maybe basically 9, 8. She still was doing it, but you know, I'm telling you. So after a while, I just thought it was. You know, I mean, it was just a way for her to go sleep, and then if she would wake up in the night and she wouldn't see me in the room, she would come out and look for me. But I wanted to comment on the gentleman who talked about what men wanted.
Yeah.
But he talked about women being physical and masculine. But I mean, if I say a woman is physical, that doesn't mean that she's not feminine. So I just wanted to distinguish that because if you run the 66 steps of the bridge, you'll see a lot of women who indulge in physical activities and people. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm more attracted to those types, like, basically, because I like to exercise. I'm 60 and I plan on, I don't know when I'll stop running, when God stop me, but that's just the way for me to get rid of stress and all these different things. But I'm attracted to a physical woman, especially, you know what I mean? It's just natural.
Absolutely.
Most men are, but they would deny it. Bless them.
Yeah, but thank you. Thank you, 52. I think that is definitely a space in which we see, like, the stigma, right, and the social attitudes, because that early birth time, that infancy, is equally important to the father as it is to the mother. Anyway, I got a couple more texts. We're going to a quick break. There's some more Elon Moxie music playing for you in the background. Stay tuned. And wait till you all see what's in today's Blast from the Past. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Walk out with my stubborn pride. Girl, you couldn't stop me. Hit the road, but I didn't get far. Stole around all night in my car. Not sure where to stop now. To tell her that I'm sorry.
Hey, man. Long time.
Girl, what going on? I hear women in Bahamas can't pass on citizenship to them own children.
We had one jokey government halfway try to change it with a referendum in 2016, and two administrations since then ain't even bother.
I shock you going back to live like that. What are you supposed to do with your own children if they ain't Bahamian?
Suffer. Luckily, Equality Bahamas been working on this issue, and I hear they ramping up for a full campaign.
Good. Y'all need action. The Bahamas like to play top class, but have all these old issues that the rest of the region done deal with a long time.
You right. We gotta get it together. Let me go online right now and tell my people share tiny.cc/nationality. We need the same rights as men to pass on citizenship to our children.
Yeah, get on our level.
Prince Lampkin, I have 2 13x23 semi-high gloss ceramic tiles in stock and selling for 24 baht. Now, one of these, namely CB2093, has a unique design that gives the illusion of laid stone, the unevenness of the stone sidewalks of Europe. But it's only an illusion. While they look like stone, they offer much more continuity. I'd ask Pinder if he'd been to How to Talk Good School while he were away. Anyhow, come to Pinder Town and have a look at his new collection, starting at 214 a square foot before back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
No, producer, we gotta go. I almost fall into the Elon Moxie trap just now. What a storyteller. Okay, we're going quickly to the blast from the past. Remember, The Guardian for the month of November is diving into the archives and printing old pages. Today's pages are from November 28th. 1962 and November 5th, 1962, November 27th, I think 1962 says, UBP all the way, stinging defeat for Progressive Liberal Party. And then the second story below, the women swung it. Unfortunately, I cannot read the print. I need a magnifying glass to do that. In the November 5th, 1962 front page, we have these headlines. Tour cars, Surrey's barred from hospital. Another headline, motorcycle patrolman injured in chase. Look at that. Just what, Monday or last week, we had a story where a police officer was involved in an accident where I think he was knocked off his bike. It may have been a bad accident. I haven't seen the crime report for it yet, but that's another note. This is a fascinating, today's day is definitely a fascinating day. And the stories concern also universal suffrage for the Bahamas. This is the first time women got the right to vote. And look at what we're talking about, International Men's Day. I mean, the day after International Men's Day. What more do y'all men want? Don't be mad that United Women United had their courtesy call with the Governor General on International Men's Day. There's space for y'all as well. And that's all tongue-in-cheek, gentlemen, because I really value the contribution to today's discussion, right? Now, the question is, and it's a question that human rights advocates have to ask all the time, is this discrimination or is it perceived discrimination, right? Is it prejudice or is it perceived prejudice? Or better yet, is it discrimination or is it prejudice, which is slightly different? Here's the text. Great show as usual. What does men want and need? This text is saying that for most men, they prioritize a healthy and happy, intimate, personal relationship with I'm presuming the text is saying with women. So the text is saying that most men want primarily a healthy and happy and sound personal intimate relationship and all that comes therein. Here's another text. The men need to be taught. Men need taught to take advantage of opportunities and life choices, just like with women. Equalize the genders. Now, text, here's what we get to. Men need to be taught to take advantage of opportunities in life choices? Men? Okay, so get past that point. Boys need to be taught to take advantage of opportunities in life choices just like girls need to, right? And so why is it, who has left the boys behind? Is it the men who say, is ain't nothing wrong with us? Y'all are the ones with the problem? Who is responsible for teaching the men? to take advantage of the right opportunities and life choices, just like with women. Are women obligated to teach the men? See, when men were in control of nation, they didn't think that men needed these programs. Now that women have highlighted the need for these programs for women, it appears as if men are accusing women of leaving men out of the equation. But nobody has prevented men from doing the very same thing. In particular, and this point specifically, men's still in charge. The policymakers are all men, the vast majority of them. And when men are making decisions, what types of decisions are they making? Are women in the spaces where the real decisions are made? Because I guarantee you there's a closet in that cabinet office like there was in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and they just walk through there to somewhere else to make the decisions. Because the decisions are never made at the table, at that table. Men is go, well, sorry, I just get, dear men, I want you to know, I am taking the conversation seriously. But have men realized the need to organize? Now, at the same time, women have not left men behind. The gender conversation focuses on not just relations between men and women, but to ensure that both women and men have equal and equitable access to the things they need. Because when we have a conversation that says, hey, this is what women need in particular, then you have to distinguish it from what men need in particular. And there is the space for the conversation. Okay, as we come to the end of the hour, tomorrow, Seasonal Sunshine Bahamas is giving away a Jollification gift pack. We enter into Christmas season, and we're going to have your question. They can be hard. We're going to have a couple of trivia questions, and we're going to have a little giveaway on tomorrow's show, right? If not a trivia question, a competition for the best local Christmas gift idea. But it is like agriculture centered. So it doesn't have to be edible or consumable, but it has to be agriculture based. And we're going to give away a gift pack to the best idea. To the best idea. Now, part of this conversation was, you know, the question of is it discrimination or is it perceived discrimination was sparked by this headline in today's Tribune. Presence of Jones's fiance sparks LGBTQ+ discussion. And I want to ask, are we in a don't ask, don't tell society, right? Is that what's happening here? Are we in a don't ask, don't tell society? It makes me think of the power of visibility and the privilege of invisibility. There's another headline here. There are two headlines. If you start, let's start with the Nassau Guardian. IMF raise VAT. IMF also recommends income tax for top earners. OPM, no plan to raise VAT. I wonder where Mr. Newry is. But also, this headline, deficit more than triples to $194 million in first quarter. The government's fiscal deficit for the 2024-2025 budget year's first quarter more than tripled year over year to $194 million, with close to one-third of that, quote, red ink, close quote, incurred during September. Funds revealed that month's deficit rose by almost $20 million or 44% year over year to strike $64.7 million when compared to the $44.9 million incurred in 2023. The expanded deficit was driven by modest slippage on both sides. What is modest slippage if it produces like 20 million? What? How is going over what you've been allocated by $20 million, right? That's because perhaps I don't understand what I'm reading. Maybe it's me. But that month's deficit rose by almost $20 million or 44% year over year to $7 million when compared to the $44.9 million incurred in 2023. What happened in September? Or better yet, what happened in August that you had to pay for in September? Anyway, the Dundas fundraiser campaign continues. If you're interested in participating in the Black Box Open Mic Improv Group, there's going to be another practice tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Dundas on Mackey Street. I just want you to know we're looking for a prime minister. I need somebody who could say, I don't want to mess up your phrase. We catch flights. We don't catch feelings. What happening? I need somebody who could do that. The Dundas, Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Also, I need somebody who could explain to me who told the Bahamas government that they could ignore traffic and transport issues. I just want to know. Tell me. Is it in this IMF report? Did we save any money from it? Let me know. Anyway, stay tuned to Guardian Radio AM. C.A. Nuri and Guardian Radio is up next. Sorry, Guardian Radio FM. That's my bad. No, Cecil is AM. Guardian is FM. There you go. Thank you, producer. And thank you, Elon Moxie, for the music you've brought to us. You guys have a great day.
Sky high, the cost of living has gone so high.